You turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 this morning. So we think of a Father's Day. I think of a verse, a text, a phrase in a Bible that is especially a phrase for men. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. This really is part of the conclusion of the book of 1 Corinthians. And as a summary exhortation to the people at Corinth, at the end of this letter, we have a synopsis of the application, the exhortation to the Corinthian people from the Apostle Paul about their duties and their responsibilities, their needs, some particular specific truths that they need to put to practice in their lives. Obviously, we don't have a lot of places in the Scripture that specifically give us lots of instruction about fathers. We do have lots of examples of fathers in the Bible. We have the commendation of God, of Abraham as a father, that he knew Abraham, that he would command his children, and God was very happy about that. We have the example of the book of Proverbs as these are written of the advice of a father to a son. We have a great example of fatherhood there. We have lots of examples in the Bible of fathers who didn't do well. We have quite a few of them. We have a specific instruction in the New Testament about fathers. Fathers, not to provoke their children unto wrath, but to raise them up in nurture and admonition of the Lord. We have some specific teaching there. But if you go to a bookstore, you would think that was the main subject of the Bible, because most Christian bookstores in the world that are filled with books about, you know, marriage, about family, about fatherhood, motherhood, raising teenagers, training children. And I think that's good. But we have this multiplicity of books, and we have the greatest difficulty of ever, and it's certainly a part of the spirit of the day in which we live. Because the Bible tells us the last days will be characterized by a lack of natural affection, a lack of bonding of children to their parents and desiring to please them and respect them. And it talks about in the last days that the days will be characterized by youth being disobedient to their parents. And so we are living in a unique day. We are living in a difficult atmosphere. But the Bible doesn't have much, many chapters about fathers, because the principles of the Christian life are the principles of fatherhood and being a good father. And we'll see that even in this little exposition, this little encouragement at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And so we're going to try to summarize it, simplify it a little bit. I have four principles of and truths for fathers from the summary of 1 Corinthians. Four great truths for fathers. Watch ye. Principle of watchfulness. Now the Corinthians had a need to be watchful. They had a need to be watchful. They had some problems. They had some things around them that they now needed to be on the lookout. And they needed to be careful. And they needed to guard themselves against these things. And you know, one of the great duties of a father is watchfulness. Watchfulness. He is the head watchman of the family. The Corinthians had some things to be watchful about. There was a man in church who committed fornication. He had his father's wife. And Paul says, you better watch out about that. If you don't deal with that, a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. A little leaven will leaven the whole lump. There were those who were teaching wrong things. There were those who were teaching that there was no resurrection. And in the midst of the great resurrection chapter, the Apostle Paul says, evil communications corrupt good manners. Watch out for those people teaching the wrong thing. He says, watch out. He says, watch out. There are some people here who are trying to get a following after themselves. In 1 Corinthians, we find in chapter 2, one says, I'm of Apollos. And one says, I'm of Paul. And one says, I'm of Christ. And they were all people who were trying to get a following after themselves. He says, watch out for them. Watch out for these people that are trying to get a following, not to follow Christ, but to get a following for themselves. Watchfulness. You know, a dad's supposed to be the watchman of the family. You know, things are new and different today. When I was in high school, ancient history, maybe you can't understand. I tell people when I was saved, October 31st, 1968, they just go like that. I mean, they weren't even born then. A lot of their parents weren't even born then. But when I was in high school, the worst thing that ever happened was that the greasers, we called them greasers, because they didn't want to use one dab of burl cream, they used lots. And they were the greasers, we called them. And they would fight, even the girls would fight. You know? And they would go in the bathroom and they would smoke cigarettes. Oh, man. Not much worse than that happened, though. Today's in the public school, you got the homosexuals hugging, kissing, making out. Got a whole new world. You got kids with cell phones, texting one another, giving one another the answers on the test. You name it. It's a whole new world. You know, the dad of a job, the job of a father is to be watchful. Today we have the internet. Today we have pornography, a click away. Today we have social networking. Today we have chat rooms. Today we have instant messages. Today we have video games. And we got so many things I don't even know what they are. But there's something new all the time that Satan is ready to destroy a soul. And you know, many times, parents, they can act oblivious to this stuff. And we are kind of ignorant. I don't know anything about this. Better. You better find something out about it. You better get your watchful eyes open and your watchful and hearing ears alert. Because there's all sorts of wickedness that is ready to destroy our families. And it's the job of the father to be watchful. Now, I'm doing a little bit of preaching here. Don't want to be too negative, but you know what? A lot of dads aren't watchful. You know why? Because they're in sin themselves. They're messed up in pornography. They're messed up in drinking. They're messed up in carousing. They're messed up in their world of selfishness. And they don't have time to take to watch over their kids. We live in a selfish day. You know, every child is different. And every year, there's something new to destroy a young person's life. The Bible tells us in Proverbs about the man that delicately bringeth up his servant shall cause him to be his son at length. Delicately bringeth up his servant. Aware, watchful, thinking, guarding against all the evils that are there to take the souls of our children. Watchfulness. Watchfulness. That's the duty of a dad. No! We're not going to have that in our house, praise God. No! You're not doing that on the Lord's Day. No! We're having a Christian family. No! You're not having that kind of friend. No! You know, when you're around those particular friends, you just seem to lose your sense of right and wrong. No! Watchfulness. Watchfulness, as a word, has a sense, has somewhat of a negative sense. It has the sense that there is an enemy out there. Watchful. You know, I don't think you should be wearing those kind of clothes. Who's giving you those kind of ideas? Where are you getting that from? There's something happening here. There's an enemy lurking for your soul. Dads need to be watchful. Only have one chance. only have one chance. And the devil and sin can rob a soul at any moment. At any moment. Watchfulness. So he says, watch. Secondly, he says, stand fast. Stand fast. In the book of Corinthians, there was those false teachers teaching that which is not correct, teaching the resurrection incorrectly, destroying the faith of some. Paul says in Ephesians that you be no longer children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Do you ever notice today that there is a lack of steadfastness? Ever notice today that that the hour is many times characterized by people constantly changing what they believe? Ever notice that? People constantly changing what they believe. Now, if you're unsaved, praise the Lord, you're going to have to get a whole new belief system. But this one never changed. This one never changed. He says, stand fast. Obviously, there's a great need for the Christian to be able to stand fast for the truth. Look at a couple of verses with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Verse 8, it says, now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. You know, that's not talking about running fast. It's talking about sticking. It's talking about sticking to the stuff. It's talking about staying true to the Lord. We get the word fastener from it. Now you get it, right? When it says stand fast, that's talking about a fastener. You fasten unto the Lord and to the truth, and you don't move. Notice what Proverbs says. It says, be not, I'm just paraphrasing, it says, don't be among those that are given to change. You know, the problem is this world today God and His standard of holiness is up here. And unsaved people and fleshly Christians, they can't reach up that high because they're walking in the flesh. And so what do? They say, I know the solution. We'll just take God and move Him down to our level. That's not standing fast, is it? That's changing. And that's the kind of change the Bible's talking about. Be not among those that are given to change. It says, stand fast in the faith. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Of course, we could look at that verse, chapter 3, verse 13. To this end, He may establish your hearts. That's the same word. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught. Now, the word traditions there doesn't mean what you think it means. Traditions there means the truths that have been handed down to you, not false truths, not made-up truths, but hold fast that which has been delivered unto you. You know, steadfastness. In this world, it's hard to believe that, you know, if there's some new doctrine coming out, people want to run after it. We need to know our Bible. You know, I'm not attracted by, maybe there's going to be a new mid-trib rapture. You know? Maybe there's going to come out with some guy with a new view of the rapture. Well, I'm sure there's going to be a bunch of people that be drawn aside after that. But you know, the Bible talks about the imminent return of Christ. They're waiting for His return. Even so, come Lord Jesus. And we know that that wouldn't be so if you're looking for the tribulation to come first. But the whole principle is the principle of steadfastness. Like a fastener. And you know, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, he's applying that doctrine of the resurrection. And notice what he said, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be steadfast. You know, our family is going to serve the Lord. And we will always be serving the Lord. We are always going to be having family devotions. We are always going to be separated from the world. We are always going to avoid worldly entertainment and the things of the flesh. That's the way it's going to be, and we're not changing. I'm afraid that if you look at life today, if you look at life, that's a very rare characteristic for people to be steadfast. People today, when it comes to godliness, it's more like, well, I used to believe that. I used to believe that. I used to not do that. The Bible says we will reap if we faint not. You know what, Dad? Take steadfastness. You don't reap the results in 1 or 2 years when it comes to the family. You don't reap the results in 1 or 2 years. It takes many years. And if you have a little one, let me guarantee you, it takes a minimum of 20 years. A minimum to reap the results that only God can give. Steadfastness. It's kind of an unwritten, unspoken, but obvious truth in a family. It's an unspoken, unheard truth in a family, but known as clear as night and day. You know what it is? Steadfastness. We are going to live for God, and it will never change. We're going to do the will of God, and we're not going to stop. And we're going to stand by the truth, and we're going to stand by our church as long as it stands to the truth, and we're not going to stop. And all of us, and the kids, you know what? They finally figure it out. You know what? This is the way it's going to be. And you know what? That's godly. Stand fast. That's what it takes. As a Christian, as a father, it takes, I am going to stand true to God no matter what. It's as known to a child as anything that could be said. Steadfastness. The text says to the Corinthians, a summary of that statement, that passage, it says, quit you like men. I love that phrase. Be strong. Quit you like men. It's the Greek phrase, andridmai. It means act like a man. Act like a man. Now, there are different kinds of courage. There is ungodly courage. It's the courage of a compromiser. It's the courage of a compromiser who is a pastor of a good church, and they say, we're going to bring in a rock band in this church, and I don't care what anybody says. That's not what this is talking about. That's ungodly courage. And there's people out there who have it. The emerging church is full of people with ungodly courage. I don't know any of the names of them. I haven't watched any, but I read about them. And they go up in their pulpit and they tell dirty stories or off-color jokes. And then you know what they say? They say, the people in this crowd that are overly saved probably won't appreciate that. Overly saved? If there's such a thing, I think they're underly saved. But you know, there is such a thing as ungodly courage. But that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about godly courage. It's interesting in the Bible that this phrase is used a number of times. This phrase was used when the leadership was passing from Moses to Joshua. And Joshua was going to take charge of these 3 million plus people. And the Lord, as the shift of command is taking place, the Lord says to Joshua, be strong and of good courage. For unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. These are the same words that David gave to Solomon as the transfer of kingship from David to Solomon. He says, be strong and of good courage. You see, this is the courage to do the job that God wants us to do. This is the courage to do and to press on to do that which seems impossible. To press towards fulfilling the will of God when it seems overwhelmingly formidable. Dads need to have courage. They need to have courage. They need to have courage to lead the family in godliness. You know, it takes some courage. Godly courage for a dad to say, you know what? I think the TV's a problem. We're going to get rid of it. No, 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 you don't get rid of it. We only watch 1 hour a week. Please don't. Or whatever. No. We need to go forward. Despite the pleas, there's a time dad has to have courage and say no. No. And they say, everybody else is doing it. Nope. Everybody else maybe do it, but in our house, no Facebook. In our house, no. I don't care what anybody else is doing. We're not doing it. There has to be some kind of courage in a family to do what is right. You know, it's easy. It goes the wrong way. And typically, you don't hear too much opposition to go the wrong way. But there's going to be opposition to go in the right way. Because you see, the dad's a watchman. He's supposed to be able to see what other people don't see. He's supposed to be a man of the Word of God, and the Word of God will give him, as Proverbs 2 says, discretion and understanding and judgment. So to speak, he can smell us, he should be able to smell a skunk a mile away. A dad has to have the courage to lead his family in godliness. We need men who will lead their families in godliness. Men have to have the courage to do the job that God wants us to do. We have to have courage to do it. You know, we fail. We often fail. And the devil's right there to say, you failed. You can't. You can't have family devotions. You can't have family devotions. You know you're a big fat failure. You know, it takes a lot of courage for a man to do right when he's failed. The devil would want a man to become discouraged, despondent. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. Oh, you messed up. Just forget about leading your family. No, you have to have the courage to overcome your pride and do what's right anyhow. You have to have the courage to do right despite the fact that we failed. Many people, sad to say, they fail. And the devil keeps them right where he wants them. They fail, and they just remain in failure because the devil reminds them of their failure. But we are to forget those things which are behind. And we're to press towards the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Takes godly courage to do right when maybe others aren't doing it, when maybe there's some opposition, when maybe it seems like it is an impossible task. Nope, we're going to do it. Courage. The courage to go on new ground. I call it higher ground. The courage to go on higher ground. You know, if there wasn't such a thing, there would be just failure everywhere. You know, but God leads us to higher ground. God leads us to the path of in the path of righteousness. God leads us forward. Not like the world thinks forward, which means to lower everything. It takes courage. You know, it takes courage to be decisive for what's right. You know, people can decide which football team they like. They can decide, you know, where they want to go fishing. They can decide, you know, what type of golf ball they want to use or what kind of golf clubs they want to, or where they're going to go hunting. You know, I wouldn't know where you go to hunt. There's about 5 million places to go, right? I mean, you got to choose. I mean, people, man, they have to have really be decisive, you know. They're going to figure out where they're going to go hunting, where they're going to go fishing. I mean, you name it. But you know what? The Christian life calls us to be decisive. And that takes courage. Sometimes it takes courage to obey God, to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. It takes courage to, when the invitation time comes, to be willing to let God have his way. That takes a whole lot more courage than most anything else in life. He says, let all your things be done with charity. The book of Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said, love, knowledge puffeth up, but love edifieth. Knowledge puffeth up, but love edifieth. He says, love thinks about the implication of something. Love thinks about the effect of something. Love is the sacrifice that gives up our rights to further the cause of Christ. Love is about selflessness. In the Corinthians church, the gifts were about selfishness. But love was about being selflessness. Do let all things be done with charity. The church at Ephesus had left their first love. Church at Laodicea was lukewarm. The church at Corinth was in a battle of egos. The Apostle Paul says, I'll show you a more excellent way. A commitment, a selflessness to love God first, to love our children. Let all things be done with charity. We need the balance to lead our family with courage. But the tenderness to love them with all our hearts. To edify and build them up. To give ourselves to them. Simple truths, aren't they? I think it's pretty obvious from the scripture today. To be a good father, we need to be a good Christian. To be a good father, we need to be a good Christian. The main thing, the most important thing in our life is be a good Christian. If we want to be a better father, we need to start with Christ. Be a better Christian. Perhaps today on Father's Day, we need to rededicate ourselves to Jesus Christ. To be a better Christian means to give our lives as a living sacrifice to the Lord Jesus Christ. Be a better Christian is to be a better father. Those areas of our life that we need to grow, they will make us better fathers. But you can't be a good Christian without being saved. You can't be a good father without being a good Christian. And you can't be a good Christian without being saved. You can try and try and try the best you know how. But you can't be a good father without being a good Christian. You can't be a good Christian without being saved. And you can't be saved without repenting of your sin. Seeing your sin as sinful. Seeing ourselves as sinful. Seeing that sin comes from a black heart that loves evil. It is full of evil and darkness. We can't be saved unless we turn from our sin and our sinfulness and our rebellion, wanting to go our own way, wanting to do our own thing. Like the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. It has to be a turning from going our way. A lot of people want Jesus to save them from hell, but he doesn't want them to save them from going their own way. No, there needs to be repentance. And then we can turn in true faith to Jesus Christ and trust him. Simply trust him as our Savior and Lord. Repent and believe the gospel. Today, Father's Day, our children need us. They need us more than ever before. We need God's help more than ever before. Some great words of instruction for us today as fathers. Be watchful. Be the watchman of your home. Guard it against evil. Sin is no respecter of persons. It will destroy a soul, ruin a life. Be the watchman. Be steadfast. Repent of any softness in undecisiveness in your heart about following Jesus Christ. Even if it isn't spoken, it will be known by your child. Be steadfast in the faith. Don't entertain any thoughts to lower God from his holy throne. Repent of sin that ruins our conscience and destroys our convictions. Be strong. Don't be afraid to do the will of God. Someone has to be first. Someone has to determine the direction. The icebreaker goes through the ice, breaking the ice, so the other ships may follow. It takes courage to plow away the strongholds of sin and the devil. And to march forward for truth. Be strong. But let not our hearts lose the focus of love. Love never faileth. Let us love our children like never before. Let us love them in such a way that they will know it more than ever before. Good words for fathers on Father's Day. Good words for any Christian on Father's Day. Are you watchful? Are you steadfast? Are you courageous for right? Have we allowed the love of Christ to fill our soul like it ought, and to be seen and to permeate all we do? Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you for your word today. Truths will help us renew our vision for our task. Lord, may the devil be defeated, the accuser of the brethren, who would want the failures of the past to rule the present. May we shrug them off. May we confess them and forget them, and rededicate ourselves anew and afresh to do the will of God. To be watchers of our family, the watchmen over sin, not allowing the enemy to come within. Lord, might we be steadfast in a tossed a world tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Help us to stand firm on the truth, the everlasting gospel. May, Lord, we be courageous. May you help us to cast off the fear, even of failure, the fear of our own failure, to do what is right, trusting you. And Lord, give us more than ever before a love for you and a love for those you've entrusted us with for your glory. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you're here today. Every child, I guess I'm saying this humanly, but every child needs a good father. And thank God, our Heavenly Father is a good father. He will never fail us. He will never forsake us. He's a good father. We have no excuse. But I wonder today, as a father, are you a good father? Are you a good Christian? Are you a Christian? That's where it starts. Your children need a Christian father. They need a Christian father. Oh, ever so much in this world we live, they will stand for truth, live for God, guard the family against error and sin. Love of God will permeate the home. You say today, you know what? I want to be a good father, but first of all, I need to become a Christian. God has spoken to your heart. You're tired of fighting the Lord. Say, I need to trust Christ as my Savior. I need to repent of going my own way, repent of my sin, Turn from my wicked heart and turn to Christ. Say, Pastor, I need to trust Christ as my Savior. I want to be that good father that God wants me to be and my children need. Anyone here today, just lift up your hand. Perhaps you're not a dad. Maybe you're a child. You know what? You say, I want to be a good Christian dad, but I can't be until I get saved. And God has spoken to your heart today. I need to get saved. I need to turn to Christ as my Savior. Pastor, pray for me. I need to be saved. Anyone here today, just lift up your hand. Perhaps you're here today, and you're here today, perhaps as a dad, say, you know what? God's speaking my heart. I just want to rededicate my life to being a Christian dad for my kids. God is speaking my heart. I just sense that I need to rededicate my life as a Christian dad for my kids and for the glory of God. Just lift up your hand wherever you might be. God's speaking my heart about rededicating myself as being that dad for my kids that they need. Amen. Number of different hands. Praise the Lord. Others, God's speaking my heart about rededicating myself to being that Christian dad for my kids. Amen. Amen. Others, God is speaking to your heart. Okay, praise the Lord. God is speaking to your heart. Oh, yes. Have the courage to go against your own inhibitions and say, yes, I'm gonna make that commitment. I'm going to go against the tide of my own character. I'm going to recommit myself to being that godly father that my children need. Anyone here else today, raise your hand. Amen. Amen. We need to overcome all those accusations of the devil, our own failures, and give ourselves to the Lord anew and afresh as God is speaking to your heart. Anyone else? Father, we thank you for the privilege today of being in your house and the opportunity to apply the Word of God to our lives for your glory and for the benefit of those you've entrusted to us. We pray you would be glorified in every decision made today in Jesus' name. Amen.